This week was very interesting in so many different ways. I got a lot of text messages and phone calls and all kinds of different things this week, and I just want to share one of these text messages with you. I received this on Wednesday night, and I did not respond to it in any way because it has confused me and confounded me in many ways, but I think it's very apropos for this morning. And so I'm going to read this text message. I'm even going to tell you who it's from, if that's okay. Yes? Is that all right? Okay, so I'm going to even tell you who it's from. It was from the people I was just mentioning, John and Emily Dietz. So if you don't know, John and Emily are part of the youth group leadership on junior high nights on Wednesday night, and they get together with the kids, and they do some, it sounds like they do some amazing fun stuff, and they hear the word of God, and then they break up into smaller groups, and they pray with one another, and there's time to ask questions, and that's really what kids like is, I mean, they like the fun stuff, and they like all, but I think a big part of youth group is just having an open place that you can ask questions and, you know, maybe get some answers or something. So this is a text message I received at 9:30 on Wednesday night from John Dietz. I'll say that. So we were both asked separately from different students if God is thankful. We both gave opposite answers. When you have time, we'd appreciate the expert opinion upon the matter. So they were looking for an expert opinion, so that's why I did not respond. So we're going to try to answer that question a little bit this morning. Is God thankful? I'll tell you, my first immediate, okay, so you guys, I just have to pick on you just for a second, because I love you, you know that. So, which one of you said, yes, God is thankful? I knew it! I knew it! So that would mean that John's response was, God is not thankful. Not saying that, I know how hard that is to say, but there's a, because we're thinking logically, that all thanks, all glory, all honor, all, you know, God is everything. He should receive and be the object of all thanks. So why would God be thankful? Who would he be thankful? Why would he be? So, no. But that doesn't make a lot of sense because if he calls us to be thankful, he created us. And he placed within us the desire and the heart to be thankful, right? And we were created in his image. But scripturally, because that's really where you're coming from, scripturally, show me how God is thankful, right? It's there. I didn't think so because I'll be honest with you, when you first texted it to me at 9:30 and at 10:30 and 11:30 and at 12:30 that night, I was in the mindset that no, he can't be thankful because he's God. For what? For whom? Why would he be thankful? Because he's it. He is like the top of the tier. There's nothing bigger or stronger or powerful or more knowledgeable than God. But here's an amazing thing. You remember this fact, and it is a fact, that Jesus is what? Jesus is God. He is. Whether you choose to believe that, that's up to you, but it doesn't matter what you believe because he is God. He says it himself, and God affirms it. And the Holy Spirit affirms that same notion that Jesus is God. And here's the amazing thing. Jesus, while he was on this earth, was what? Thankful. He gave thanks in so many different ways and in so many different circumstances. Jesus, who is God, gave thanks, so he was thankful. Yes, he was giving thanks to who? God the Father. But in his heart, in his very essence, he was giving thanks. Now, just a couple of the examples. Let's take a look at them because I want you to make sure that you understand it's not just thanks for the food type of thing that Jesus is being thankful for, okay? There is that aspect of it. Before he broke the loaves and split the fish with the 5,000, it says that he looked up to heaven and he what? gave thanks. So absolutely. But it's more than just a, hey, thanks for the food type of thing. There's attitudes of thankfulness that Jesus expresses to God in all kinds of different circumstances. And there's many more. And here's the thing. And I'm going to put this caveat in there. If anyone disagrees with me at this point in time, that's fine. That's good. You don't have to stand up or anything like that. But you are welcome to disagree. But here's the thing. What I want you to do is I want you to come to my class after this sermon discussion time. And I want you to come and say something. And say, hey, what about this or what about that? Because iron sharpens iron. It's okay to disagree. It's okay as long as we continue to look for the Word of God to find the answers. And that's a good thing because I grow, you grow, we all grow. And we have a greater understanding of who God is and what he wants us to do. So we all understand the whole idea that Jesus gave thanks before he broke the bread and broke the fish. But also take a look at this. And Matthew chapter 11. I've got a whole bunch of them, not a whole bunch of them, but a few of them here. But we're going to take a look at it. I don't have any particular order. That's why I'm kind of hesitating. Matthew chapter 11. Listen to what he says. Matthew chapter 11, beginning verse 25. It says, at that time Jesus said, I praise you, Father. Or what's another word for praise? I give you thanks. I am appreciative. I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except for the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus says, I praise you, Father. I love the part that comes after that when he says, for you've revealed these things. You've hidden these things from wise and learned and revealed them to little children. It just kind of made me smile. That's kind of why I want to start there, because who started this whole discussion? Who started it? A couple little eighth graders. Not that they're little. Here's the thing. For how many years have I been in ministry? Too many, probably. I've never thought of that question, is God thankful? Isn't that weird? How many of you thought of that question before in your life? How many, raise your hand, it's okay, we can our audience participate here. How many of you thought of the question, is God thankful, in your entire life? Really? I'm not the only one? I've never thought of that. Is God thankful? And I love it that these eighth graders thought of that question. And I don't think it was an accident that two of them thought of that same question at the same time. And I don't think it's an accident that he asked both of you, because you came in one family. Because if it was just been one of you, you probably wouldn't have thought about it and wouldn't have had the discussion and wouldn't have brought it to me. And if you wouldn't have brought it to me, I wouldn't be thinking about and looking at Scripture in so many different ways on that God, I believe, is thankful. And the reason I say that, not only does he say, praise you, God, but he also literally says, thank you. Take a look with me in John chapter 11. Once again, is it 11? John chapter 11, there we go. John chapter 11. Threw me off. Death of Lazarus. Lazarus has been dead 3 days, been in the tomb. Jesus comes on the scene. Everyone's crying. He says, don't cry. He's going to live. Yeah, we know in the days after. He says, no, he's going to live right now. He goes to the tomb. Goes to the tomb of Lazarus, who's been in the tomb for 3 days. He says, roll the stone away. But before he says, roll the stone away, this is what he says. I know he says it. 41. What? 41? I was way off. I was looking in the wrong place. There you go. Thank you. So Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Verse 41. So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up, and what did he say? He says, Father, what does he say? I thank you that you have heard me. I thank you that you have heard me. You see, yes, he's being thankful to God, but Jesus is God, and he has a heart of thankfulness. And Jesus can only have a heart of thankfulness if it's a heart of God. Now, here's a question we have to ask in a very big way. But is God the Father thankful? Because we could look at some other places. We could look at Matthew 15, 36. We could look at Matthew chapter 26, verse 27 in communion, where he says, before he broke bread, he gave thanks. Who did he give thanks to? He gave thanks to God. Jesus was thankful. But is God thankful? Is God the Father thankful? I think we have to understand what thankfulness is. So I had Nathan give me a definition of thankfulness this morning. And this is what he got. And it was kind of interesting. Can I tell the story? Is that right? Because it's not like you're going to say no now, right? No, Nathan doesn't want me to tell the story, so I'm just going to be quiet. So I came with an illustration where I thought God was being thankful. And you said what? I'm not picking on you, but you said,
man, I don't think so.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I'm glad you said that, so I'm not going off in the wrong direction or anything like that, because I don't want to say something that's not right. I try to check things. Sometimes I get out there, and I apologize for that, but I try to check things. And so I said, well, that's cool. Well, maybe I don't understand thankfulness, so maybe I need to have a better understanding of what thankfulness is. So I said, Nathan, give me a good definition of thankfulness. And I went away to go get another cup of coffee because, you know, I need to talk faster on Sunday morning, so I have to get a lot of coffee. So I went to go get another cup of coffee, and I came back, and he goes, you need to come in here. And I came in there. I felt like I was kind of in trouble. He goes, I might be wrong. And you did say that, didn't you?
Yes,
you said, I might be wrong. And I said, hang on, let me go get a calendar. I want to write this down. No. He goes, the very first word of the definition is pleased. Thankfulness is being pleased and relieved. They were thankful that the war was finally over. So thankfulness is being grateful and appreciative, filled with gratitude, relieved. Again, that word relieved. Expressing gratitude and relief, an earnest and thankful prayer. Grateful, appreciative, filled with gratitude, relieved. But the very first word of the definition, do you remember what it was? I just said it.
Please.
So is God grateful? Think about this. There's this young man being obedient to God's calling in his life. Other people are saying, you know, you don't really need to do this. But he says, no, let's do this to fulfill all righteousness. And he went down into the water. And he came up out of the water, and what did God say? This is my son, in whom I am well pleased. I'm thankful. I'm grateful. Okay. I know some of you are saying, but that's still God. So Jesus was saying, thank you, and he's thanking God the Father. And now God the Father, yes, he's saying thank you, but he's saying thank you to God the Son. And we could probably find an example, if we looked hard enough, that the God, the Holy Spirit, is in there somewhere too, because thankfulness is all rolled up into this whole idea of love and gratefulness and relieved, and just this amazing relationship between Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit is just a huge ball of love. And part of love is gratefulness and thankfulness and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and all the qualities of God. We wouldn't even have this discussion if it would say thankful in the fruit of the Spirit, would we? And I tried to get it there, but I couldn't find it. We even tried to manufacture it in some way, but I couldn't do it. But it is a part of God. And the thing that drove it home to me more than anything else was this week on Friday, I got to go and watch my grandkids. I got to go watch Vern and Gid. I even got to pick them up from school for the very first time at the new school that they're going to. And I told Karina when she asked me Thursday night, I said, okay, so you need to kind of prepare them because Pop doesn't look like he normally looks. I kind of look like a homeless guy right now. and they're not going to really recognize me. And they're like, oh, it's all right. They'll recognize you. You'll be fine. And so I get to the church of the daycare that they're going to, and I have this big green card that I'm supposed to go to the door with in order to pick up my grandkids, you know what I'm saying, the whole safety thing. And so I go to the car or to the door, and you can't go close to the door. You have to stay like, you know, the soup Nazi, three steps back. So I'm three steps back from the door, showing my green card that says Gonitz on it, like that. And I'm standing there, and the teacher looks out, and she looks at me, and it's kind of cold, and I'm kind of, you know, like this, and I got the whole ugly thing going on. And she looks at me, and she's already sent a lot of kids out to their parents. And she looks at me, and I got the Gonitz card, you know what I'm saying? I didn't make this up on my own on the green piece of paper and laminated. I didn't do this. I hold up the Gonitz card, and it was so cute because the teacher, behind the closed doors and the glass, picks up Vern and shows me to him through the window. And the smile that was on his face is like, oh, Pop! So they open the door, and I was able to get Vern. And so now we have to go get Gideon. I know this is a long story, I apologize, but now we have to go get Gideon. So I take Vern and I say, okay, because there's different doors for different age groups that you have to pick kids up at. So I take Vern by the hand, he comes out and gives me this great big hug. Those are the best in the whole world. Gives me this great big hug and goes, ooh, those are tickly. And then we go over and we're standing outside the door again. I'm holding the little green card and I'm holding Vern by the hand. Okay, I mean, I've got one kid already. I'm holding the sign and I'm holding the kid, and the same thing happens. They're letting all these kids out, and all of a sudden, the next thing I see, this teacher, maybe this is the rule, I don't know, that I need to find. They pick up Gideon, and he looks through the window, and he gets this big smile on his face, and it was good, and I got a big hug, and I'm carrying Gideon out to the car, and I just love this, and he's just going. He's just feeling my whiskers. He goes, you got hair coming out of your nose. And it was a great afternoon. But the part that just got me, and I started crying, was at the end of the day, after all the books and all the wet pants and all the things that went on that day that I forgot about. I forgot, as soon as they get up from a nap, you gotta go to the bathroom, right? I forgot that. That was on my bed. It was my bad. Boy, was it my bad. At the end of the day, remind me so much of Karina. When she was little, Vern painted me a picture on the table. And he gave me that picture, and he gave it to me. He says, Pop, this is for you. And I literally... I started crying. I know that sounds so stupid. I'm such a softy. I started crying, and he was like, don't you like it? And I said, no, I absolutely love this picture. And he goes, I'll make you some more. And it reminded me of something. It reminded me of Revelation. Revelation chapter 4, I believe it is. Because God isn't just thankful to Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is extremely difficult, and it seems John, brother, it doesn't seem right in my spirit. I get you. I understand this. It doesn't quite sit right because he's God. In case you didn't hear that, all wives just went, yes. The comment was, Emily was right. You see, there's this scene in Revelation chapter 4 that's just got me, that I can't get away from, John. Not that we can talk later more, but it says, after this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven, and the voice I had just heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here and I will show you what must take place first. And at once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne, and surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders, and they were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder, and before the throne seven lamps were blazing, and these were the seven spirits of God. Also before the throne there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. And in the center, around the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in the front and in the back. And the first living creature was like a lion, and the second was like an ox, and the third had a face like a man, and the fourth was like a flying eagle. We've heard that already. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around. And even under their wings, day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come." We're getting there, John. Whenever the living creatures gave glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne, and they worship him who lives forever and ever. And they lay their crowns before the throne. And they say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things. And by your will, they were created and have their being." And it doesn't say it anywhere in there, John. But I cannot imagine any father seeing their children laying down their gifts at the altar, no matter how imperfect, no matter how ineffective, no matter how incomplete. I can't imagine a single father who sees their children laying it on the altar, giving it to him, could have any other response except what? Thankful. You see, there's one thing that God gave us. Well, he gave us everything. And I don't want to say there's one special thing, because they're all special. And the most amazing one is that grace thing. That's just huge. But there's something that he gave all of us, which is pretty crazy and wild when you really think about it. He gave us free will. The ability to choose. Isn't that kind of weird? He gave us a choice to reject him or accept him, to serve him or to serve ourselves. And when we serve him and we choose him and we offer our gifts to him, I think in his heart of hearts, he says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. I'm pleased with whatever we're able to give him." I should stop there because I got the emotional tone going right there, right? I should just stop. But there's one more spot I got to show you. That is my favorite, my absolute favorite. And it's in Luke chapter. I don't have much for notes, but the one note I have, you can see that it's circled in like three or four stars right there. And it says, "End here." I'm lucky I was able to see my notes. Luke chapter 24. I love this. So Jesus lived this amazing life, sin-free life completely, made every choice that pleased the Father. He never made a mistake. Every thought, every word, every action was for God's glory. And then we crucified him. And he paid the price for our sins, and he died willingly to cover up my imperfections, to make my scribbled up messy picture. And by the way, it wasn't that scribbled up. I was amazed how good Vern is coloring, by the way. It was fantastic. It really was very good. So when I say my scribbled up picture, my imperfections, my inadequacies of trying to serve and do the things that I'm trying to do, and it's doing it wrong in so many different ways, he takes my imperfections, my attempts to be good, and because of the blood of Jesus, he makes it perfect. He covers my mess with his masterpiece. And he did that through the cross. Crucified, and he was buried and laid in the tomb for 3 days, and he arose, and he's alive. And during those first hours of his life, he met these guys on a road to Emmaus. You guys remember this story in Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 13? And I'm not going to read the whole story. You know how the story goes. They're walking along, and all of a sudden, Jesus opens their mind. This is a sermon I want to hear more than anyone else's. Billy Graham's, Lutzer, and I don't care who it is. I want to hear this. I would love to hear the sermon that Jesus preached to these guys on the road to Emmaus, where he took all the Old Testament passages and applied them to himself. He showed them all the mysteries. Now, I don't know if it was all of them, but a lot of the mysteries that we don't understand even today, and he showed it to them, and he gave them wisdom. He revealed wisdom like no one ever had gotten wisdom revealed to them ever. He was walking with them. He might have been brushing up against them and bumping them and stuff like, I don't know. He was walking with them. He was imparting wisdom to them. He was there. They could see him. They could hear him. They could touch him. They could do all kinds of things in order to recognize who he is, but they didn't get it. Remember that? They had no idea who he was. Do you know what happened in order for them to understand and recognize Jesus? Do you know what finally clicked so that they could see him and recognize him? You know what it was? Yeah, breaking the bread. That's I'm not picking on you, but yeah, he broke the bread. See, Jesus had this really particular way of breaking bread. Everyone else took it with the fingers on top and snapped it like that. But Jesus took it with his thumbs, and he snapped it like this and kind of dug his thumbs in. I'm making all this up. Wow, there we go. I'm not picking on you, but I appreciate it. I was hoping someone would say that because, anyway, I had all that planned. Anyway, so thank you for being a part of God's plan this morning. Verse 30, when he was at the table with them, he took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were open and they recognized him and he disappeared from their sight. We could argue that it was the way that he broke the bread, but I think it was the way that Jesus gave thanks, that they recognized who he was. And I think we need to hear that, because I think that more people will recognize who you are in Christ by the way that we give thanks. We've got a great opportunity this week to give thanks and do it in such a way that it all points to him. Amen.